VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there is not a day that goes by when we're not hearing about the COVID shot in the news. I mean, we learn of mandates, lawsuits, employees being fired, court actions, what percentage have received the shot, what percentage have received the booster. We learn about the population count in the hospitals. We learn about the latest shot expansion and approvals. We're told that day after day after day that the shot is safe and effective. You'll also be learning about kids that are being bribed. Yes, folks, you're going to hear today even how young children have been bribed with pizza to obtain the shot. Well, our guest today is well-versed concerning the topic of vaccinations and here to address multiple issues with us, Barbara Lowe Fisher, president of the National Vaccine Information Center. They're a nonprofit charity. She co-founded this with parents of DPT, vaccine-injured children, in 1972. They are a national grassroots movement. They're a public information campaign to institute vaccine safety reforms, inform consent protections in the public health system. She is one who has researched, she has analyzed, she's publicly articulated the major issues involved in the science, the policy, the law, the ethics, and the politics of vaccination to become one of the world's leading non-medical consumer advocacy experts on this subject. And Barbara, thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always a pleasure. So much going on. We were talking before the show about the booster dose that has been approved now for 16 to 17-year-olds, the Pfizer vaccine. And, of course, the big news story, at least from where I'm standing, having looked at this issue for 40 years and now in the middle of this pandemic hysteria, really, I call it fear-mongering, we've got this issue of this vaccine failing in a major way. They said that two doses was going to do it for everyone. Mm-hmm. Everybody should get two doses of the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine, and that would end the pandemic. Well, the truth is we've got a 60% vaccination rate of fully vaccinated in this country. That's an astonishing vaccination rate for a country of 330-plus million people. 71% of Americans have gotten at least one COVID shot. So we are having, however, in especially the highly vaccinated states like Maine and Vermont and Rhode Island and Connecticut, who have a 70-plus, in some cases 80% vaccination rate, we're seeing outbreaks of COVID disease. Dr. Fauci at NIH said that we may soon need to consider a third COVID shot, a booster shot, mm-hmm. that would qualify people as being fully vaccinated. And he's also talking about in the future needing a fourth booster shot.
He is constantly moving the goalpost here of what fully vaccinated is, and he said in regard to this issue today, it's not if, but it's when. When are we going to change that definition? And it's coming on the horizon, Barbara. I mean, for people to be declared fully vaccinated, so all of these restaurants and the things in New York and California that said, no, you can only come here if you're fully vaccinated, that's soon going to change, that they're going to force people to go through that third and potentially the fourth and maybe the fifth after that.
I think that they're really trying. I think that what the companies want is an annual COVID vaccination, like the annual flu shot. And they're already working on combining the COVID vaccine with the influenza vaccine to have this annual shot. I think that's what they're working toward. And you're absolutely right. The goalpost has been moved for the last 2 years all along from the very beginning. I remember when Fauci was saying, this is before the vaccines came on the market at the end of December of 2020. He was saying, maybe 60, 70% vaccination rate, that's all we would need. But he keeps raising that. Mm-hmm. And really what they want is a 100% vaccination rate. And certainly you can see with the administration's mandates.
Yes.
And mandates like in New York City, Mayor de Blasio, who has been probably the leading proponent of forced vaccination, you see this idea that if you are not vaccinated, you cannot function in society. You cannot go into public spaces. You can't get a school education. You can't hold a job. I mean, people being fired, mass firings of healthcare workers mm-hmm. and policemen and firemen. People in California and New York are really under the gun, you know?
Yes, they are. I mean, I saw the headline here of a Los Angeles school district fired nearly 500 employees who refused the shot. Los Angeles also lost 113 firefighters suspended without pay due to the mandate. I mean, this is being replicated all over the country.
Right. I know I was looking at the vaccine mandate. We can talk about this a little later, about there is some pushback by the courts
right.
on these mandates. But de Blasio's latest vaccine mandate would have covered everybody mm-hmm. That's employed in New York City.
A five-year...
Not just those companies that have over 100 employees, but every... And I read a story about a man who had a little... food concession. He goes, I have one employee. He said, that employee refuses to get vaccinated. I'm out of business.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Barbara, I'd like to. So we saw the booster approved now. This is the FDA approves this Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 shot for a booster, those ages 16 and 17. And it's my opinion that that age is going to be dropped, down to age 12 and so forth then. But I also saw a very troubling story out of Los Angeles. NBC covered this even. It tells of a parent with a 13-year-old son, a student at the Barack Obama Global Prep Academy in South Los Angeles, who brought home a vaccine card after he was accepted the shot at school. He said yes to the shot when he was offered pizza in exchange for getting the shot. No notice to the parent, no signed permission slip, and here he comes home with a vax card.
Well, I mean, this is certainly the type of thing that's happening all over the country, because I remember on our last conversation, we talked about in Washington, D.C., children as young as 11 can exercise informed consent after a doctor pressures them to get vaccinated. Children are being pressured, and their parents are not being informed until after the fact. And in fact, in D.C., they're prohibited from actually informing the parent that the child has gotten vaccinated. So this is a trend. Forced vaccination proponents want, as I said, total coverage of all government-recommended vaccines, and especially COVID vaccine, and children to not have to have parents involved in the vaccine decision-making process.
This is really getting vicious as well. As I saw on MSN.com, a member of the National Education Association Board of Directors, also an English teacher at a Pennsylvania high school, actually posted to Facebook that she thought unvaccinated individuals with religious exemptions deserve to die. She wrote, I don't know why the GOP doesn't just take those guns they profess to love so much and just start shooting all of their constituents who think this way. It would be quicker and ultimately safer than putting me and my friends and family at risk. Barbara, that's outrageous.
Well, I think I've given several interviews about the demonization of people
yes.
who do not go along with the narrative that they have to get these vaccines, that people who are dissenting from this policy, people label them vaccine refusers, anti-vaxxers, whatever you want to say, people who have exercised informed consent and made the decision that that the COVID vaccine is not appropriate for themselves or their children. They're being demonized, and when you do that, when you isolate and demonize people as a group, and we've seen that in history, it doesn't end well. A lot of hatred is whipped up.
Yes,
and this is exactly your description is about hatred, and about literally wanting to kill people who don't agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
The truth is that if vaccines work, And certainly when I came into this issue, the concept of vaccination was that when you got vaccinated, you did not contract the disease and you did not transmit the disease to other people. With COVID vaccine, the definition of vaccination has changed. And it's now that when you get vaccinated, when you get a COVID vaccine, what it does is it does not, supposedly, you're not supposed to be getting serious symptoms and complications leading to your death or your injury. It does. They have acknowledged that the vaccines do not prevent infection and transmission. Mm-hmm. This is an entirely new definition of vaccination. What really puzzles me is why are Americans, if they're exercising intelligent, rational thinking, why are they accepting this new definition of vaccination? This is a medical product. This is a pharmaceutical product sold by corporations who make profit. A lot of profit.
I actually saw a headline, too, about a former HHS advisor, a virologist, who is saying that the fully vaccinated are a major source of COVID virus transmission. Also, you reported through NVIC about the outbreak of COVID on a fully vaccinated and tested cruise ship that passengers and crews have got COVID.
That's right. And these stories of fully vaccinated people being infected and transmitting, these stories are really all over the media. But, you know, you can find them. They're not promoted widely, but certainly that's the truth. And, in fact, there was a story out, I think it was today, that more than 40 people in the U.S. have been reported to be infected with the Omicron variant, which supposedly started in South Africa and is making all the news today, this variant that they say is much more highly transmissible. But more than three-quarters of the people in this country that have been reported to have Omicron have been vaccinated. Nearly all of them had only mild symptoms. And, in fact, people who aren't vaccinated who get the Omicron variant also have mostly mild symptoms or no symptoms. So, and yet Omicron, the variant, is in the news and is being used as a justification for having this booster dose and potentially having a fourth dose as well, as Dr. Fauci said today.
You got to listen to key words at times, Barbara. I know you're attuned to them. Well, they say, well, yeah, with the booster has the potential to lessen the effects of Omicron,
right.
or they'll use, you know, variable words like that is not, you know, soundness. It just opens the door. Well, it could do this, but they'll push it as if it would.
Well, that's right. And I do, as I said at the outset, I do think that the major story here is that this vaccine is a failure. Certainly the primary series of two doses is a failure. And how many doses of vaccine are we going to require people to get to be considered fully vaccinated? I mean, this is, and then, of course, there's the other side. When you look at risk, it's about failure and about risk of injury.
Folks, we're going to take a quick one-minute break. Barbara Lowe Fisher, our guest today from the National Vaccine Information Center. In the early part of the interview, she talked about court victories. What are those court victories? We're going to address that right after the break. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does natural selection occur today?
Chris, God created each basic category of life with a built-in adaptability to various conditions. Natural selection can choose from the variety which best fits an environment. But note that this is not evolution. It's merely selection of genes which already exist. Nothing new has evolved. Recently, a population of island lizards was introduced onto a new island. In 20 years, they had adapted, and their average leg length was shorter. Evolutionists crowed that this was a great evolutionary advancement, but big deal. Natural selection had occurred, but not evolution. Natural selection is not a creative process. Creation. Now, that did occur by the supernatural powers of God. Back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Barbara Lowe Fisher with us here today from the National Vaccine Information Center. If you're not getting their emails, can I encourage you to get signed up, nvic.org and nvicadvocacy.org. We'll be talking more about those as well as some of the legislation that they are monitoring taking place across this nation. Barbara, we mentioned about a lot of court victories as it pertains to mandates. What's happening in the courts?
Right. The dominoes started falling at the beginning of November. Most people may remember that the current administration had issued a mandate under OSHA that any company over 100 employees would have to mandate the vaccine for their employees, or the employees would have to be regularly tested and masked if they didn't get vaccinated. Well, on November 6th, the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals stayed this mandate by OSHA and pending judicial review. On November 12th, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals issued a permanent stay and said basically that OSHA runs afoul of the statute from which it draws its power and likely violates the constitutional structure that safeguards our collective liberty. And what basically the court, these federal courts said was that, there is a separation of powers. And as we've talked about before, that 1905 Jacobson versus Massachusetts decision that said that the state legislatures could mandate vaccines, that ruling was important from a constitutional perspective because right now it's coming into play, and that is that the federal government is trying to get around the states and issue a federal mandate, mm-hmm. which they really don't have the constitutional authority to do. And the courts in November, on the OSHA mandate, they agreed with that. Now, on November 29th, there was a ruling in the U.S. District Court of the Eastern District of Missouri that said this mandate that would apply to providers of Medicare and Medicaid services and suppliers that are involved would have to be vaccinated. And that court blocked that in 10 states. Mm-hmm. Alaska, Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. On November 30th, the U.S. District Court of the Western District of Louisiana reinforced that other court's ruling and said there shall be no Medicare, Medicaid, or provider mandate for all the states where it was not already blocked, and that would be in the 10 states that the prior court had. Then we had the federal contractors mandate, and that was the administration yes. said, okay, anybody who does business with the federal government and all the executive branch employees, et cetera, they would have to be vaccinated. Well, the U.S. District Court of Eastern District of Kentucky on November 30th blocked the federal contractors mandate from being enforced in Kentucky, Ohio, and Tennessee. And on December 7th, the U.S. Court for the Southern District of Georgia blocked the federal contractor's mandate nationwide. Then you had on December 7th a New York City judge halting Bill de Blasio's vaccine mandate that forced city workers, including the police officers, to have the COVID vaccine or face termination. So what does this say? In the last 40 days, the courts, a variety of courts have said that this federal mandate is overreach by the federal government, that they don't have the constitutional authority to do it. Now, I am sure that the federal government, the administration will appeal this to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. I do not know what the court will do, but I think that the history is that it's the state legislature's authority to mandate. Now, why did the administration try to go around the states? I'll tell you why. Because not one state in this country has mandated the COVID-19 vaccine, not one state legislature. Now, you've had governors through executive orders, like in California and New York. You've had some cities who have mandated the vaccine for employees, et cetera. But the state legislatures have not, because we organized 11 years ago through our NVIC advocacy portal, and we taught others in other organizations to, at the grassroots level, educate state legislatures to hold the line on vaccine exemptions. And also during this COVID situation over the last 2 years, we've been in there saying, you know, look, you need to really not mandate this vaccine. And so it's kind of interesting to see the U.S., because of the way our government is structured, with a federal, state, and local governmental structure, we've been able to hold back these COVID vaccine mandates. However, in Europe and in Australia and in Canada and in New Zealand, you are seeing, because they've got a basically a federal government structure, they don't have the system that we have. And those mandates are sweeping through those countries. And they are having protests with hundreds of thousands of people coming into the major cities of Paris, Athens, Rome, Berlin, London, protesting against the vaccine passports that are being imposed on those populations, and the restrictions on employment and going out into restaurants and stores, et cetera. It's really quite extraordinary what's happening in those other countries.
Well, it is, and I've just seen some of the headlines of what's happening in other countries. Here's one: a Canadian province allows grocery stores to ban the unvaccinated. New Zealand Prime Minister saying there's not going to be an endpoint to the vaccination program. You've got a number of headlines that are taking place where they're getting more and more onerous, and others, you're seeing country citizens, Barbara, that are just giving a lot of pushback within the country. Here is also from, this is from Vaccine Reaction. Renewable travel pass may signal annual booster shots for European Union. So there's a lot happening internationally, and certainly with our eyes looking here. When you're talking about these court cases, I just came across a column that was on townhall.com yesterday about University Hospitals and Cleveland Clinic. This is two of Cleveland, Ohio's major healthcare systems announced that they have reversed their COVID-19 vaccine mandates for employees. The move comes after a federal court blocked the Biden administration's vaccine requirement for healthcare workers. Cleveland Clinic also announced it would allow unvaccinated employees to continue working. So, Barbara, these court cases, they're starting to have their impact upon places such as these Cleveland hospitals.
They are. And, you know, the courts reflect popular opinion. I mean, if you look at the 1905 Supreme Court decision, which I believe was a tremendously flawed decision in going so far as to say you could override religious objections and other objections, and the state legislatures could mandate the smallpox vaccine. Still, what was good about that decision, as I said, they said it was a state legislature's business. That's serving us well right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I think when I say popular opinion, I think that all the work that's been done over 40 years, we started in 1982, and we have had, you know, other groups that have been formed and other individuals who have taken the megaphone and have given new energy to this movement. I mean, people like Dale Bigtree and Robert Kennedy Jr. and others who have come in the last few years that have reinvigorated this movement. But the education here that has been done has raised the consciousness of the people, and of course, judges are part of the. Are part of our population. They see, they read newspapers and magazines. They have family members who may have reacted, etc. But the idea that we abandon the informed consent ethic, which means you have the human right to be fully informed about the benefits and risks of a medical intervention, including a pharmaceutical product like a vaccine, and make a voluntary decision about whether or not to use it, you know, we abandon that at our peril. And I'm encouraged at this point that somehow this message has been received, and that people are standing up. If you look at the numbers of healthcare workers who left their jobs or who risked being fired for taking a principled stand, and firefighters and soldiers and first responders, it's been rather extraordinary, because tens of thousands of people, if not hundreds of thousands of people, have lost their jobs or have quit their jobs rather than bow to a one-size-fits-all vaccine mandate. And I am very excited about that.
Barbara Lou Fisher with us today. NVIC.org is their website. Barbara, I found it very interesting that there's a doctor in Germany now, a German doctor, I should say, Dr. Keenan Kapmer, who is calling for a 2-month lockdown to fight COVID-19, but he said the lockdown should be of the vaccinated.
Well, that's interesting. That's the other part of this story, is that scientists and physicians who have not previously spoken out about informed consent rights and about vaccine risks and failures have come forward, and all over the world, here in this country and in Europe and other places, they also are risking their reputations, their jobs. There have been many who have been fired, but they are standing up.
Yeah,
and
there's doctors here.
I don't know how it's going to end for the people in Europe. I know that Germany is the latest country to put in, you know, these lockdowns and this mandate. Now, some of these mandates are not, COVID vaccine mandates are not going to take effect until the new year. Mm-hmm. And that's when we're going to see probably more of the protests. But it's, you know, we just have to wait and see what will happen to those countries. I feel sorry for them that they don't have the same type of system that we have.
Yeah, and certainly we've seen even doctors now suing again, filing a lawsuit against their hospital for the hospital not allowing them to dispense medications that they believe will help their patients, such as ivermectin.
That's right. I think the other part of this story about COVID, the disease, is that there was such an attempt at the very high levels to prevent already licensed drugs and supplements from being used to help people get through the COVID infection, the SARS-CoV-2 viral infection. And then these one-size-fits-all protocols where people would enter these hospitals with COVID symptoms and they would be vented very soon. And they would die. I mean, there was a very high death rate because there wasn't. The treatment was not individualized. There was just this protocol that was being followed, and then not the support from some of these other already licensed drugs that could have been repurposed and used to treat the COVID. And I know personally of stories of people who begged the hospitals to use, you know, these alternative therapies like ivermectin and other things, and they wouldn't. They would only follow the protocol that came from very high levels. So it's kind of a sad story. I think that story will be eventually told. But right now, you know, there's a lot of suppression of the truth of what's really happening, going on.
Yesterday, the U.S. Senate even voted against the mandates.
That's right. It was a symbolic vote, mm-hmm. in that it'll go to the House, which will reject it. And
right.
Certainly, if it even was reaffirmed by the House, Biden has already said he would veto it.
Folks, do you remember when we were told 2 weeks to flatten the curve, it would all be over with? Well, here we go again. And now they're talking about this booster being required to have the definition of being fully vaccinated. And some, as Barbara said, are talking about having this annually being required. Well, we'll be back in just 1 minute. What's happening in the states? What's happening with vax legislation? Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John, as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift, or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on 2 CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
is Crosstalk on VCY America, talking about the COVID shot impacts and mandates. Barbara Lowe Fisher is with us today from the National Vaccine Information Center. In a short time, we'll be opening our phone line. So, folks, please get, we're going to ask you to get real precise and concise with your questions that you'll have for our guest here today. So start mentally forming those in your mind when we open the phone lines. That will allow us to assist just as many as possible. I want to cover just a couple issues, though, here, Barbara, before we get to the phone lines, and that is I'd like to look at what adverse reactions are happening right now through the shot, and especially now we're seeing this requirement for young people in some cases. Are young people, teenagers, even younger, having adverse reactions, and what are we seeing as a whole?
Well, you're right. The vaccine that's authorized for children ages 5 and up is the Pfizer vaccine. The Moderna and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine are authorized for people 18 years and older. So as of the end of November, there have been about 927,740 adverse events reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System that is operated by the federal government. There have been over 19,000 deaths reported. And for children ages 5 to 17, and that use has only been in effect for a couple of months, over 21,000 adverse events have been reported and 36 deaths. So those numbers are just starting to come in. Now, the government, of course, says you cannot make the claim that all of the adverse event reports and the deaths are causally associated with the COVID vaccine. But when you look at the total number of adverse events reported in the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System that has been in operation since 1990, and that system was created under the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, and the parents of DPTV vaccinated children, myself included, were the ones who convinced the Congress to make the system open and transparent and available to the public to both report and to view vaccine reaction reports. So, if you have about 1.5 million adverse events that have been reported in that system since 1990, and you've got 927,000 of them associated with COVID vaccines, that is an extraordinary statistic.
And at the same time, there have been whistleblowers within the medical profession that have said, we have been told not to file those reports because they're discouraging people. And how can you really know for sure? And we saw one emergency room nurse who was seeing so many people, and she went to her head saying, hey, this is what's going on, these adverse reactions. They said, do not report them. I mean, that is happening out there, too.
And it's very disturbing because even before the COVID vaccine, a 2011 federally funded study found that only about 1% of all vaccine adverse events are reported to theirs. So you already have a gross underreporting. If there is active discouragement of reporting, I mean, if you already have 927,000, what are we talking about if it's only 1%?
Wow,
I mean,
wow, that's
9 million? I mean, it's... I don't know what the math is, but it's a big number.
Yeah. One other issue here, and I know you're monitoring what's happening in all the states across the nation, as well as what's happening in Washington as it relates to legislation on this issue. We can't get down to the fine details, but your overall observation, you're seeing lots and lots of pieces of legislation come forth on this issue.
Well, but the bottom line is, as I said earlier, no state legislature has mandated a vaccine.
Right.
Now, employers, it's a very complex picture. Because of the administration's mandate, even though recently the courts have said, sorry, you can't do that, you know, individual corporations, individual employers can choose to mandate. They can choose to make it a condition of employment. And that's something that I guess the courts are going to have to figure out in each individual case. But it's such a complex picture, I couldn't even begin to try to get my arms around exactly which states and which companies, et cetera, are mandating. Now, we did recently update the NVIC advocacy portal with regard to governors and which governors have mandated. I haven't taken a look at that this morning, but you can go to nvicadvocacy.org, and if you're a registered user, it's a free service, but you have to register to use it because we have to protect that database from sabotage. So mm-hmm. we only people have to register to use it. But you can see whether your state, what the governor has done in your state if you're not familiar with the policy.
NVICadvocacy.org.
Right.
Folks, let's take your calls here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 1-800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Barbara, I saw a headline that also came out on December the 5th from WND.com, WorldNet Daily, of a CDC warning that measles now is becoming a growing global threat because of disruptions, they're saying, to childhood vaccinations caused by the lockdowns in response to the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I've seen other stories that say because of the lockdowns and the masking, there have been fewer cases of measles and whooping cough and influenza.
Interesting.
So, you know, it's to me, it feels like we're being kept in a constant state of fear and anxiety about viruses, you know, about infectious diseases. It's like mm-hmm. the only thing we're supposed to think about is our bodies and these microorganisms.
Yeah.
That I guess the whole solution is we should be getting what, vaccinated every day? I mean, it's gotten to be just extremely bizarre. The way we're living.
Let's go to the phone lines. They're packed. Dan in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I was just wanted to tell you guys that to be considered vaccinated, I think if they go by almost over a month before they consider you vaccinated after you take the shot anyway. So there's probably a lot of numbers that aren't right as far as the government's giving out anyway.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. That's a good point because, Barbara, some of the adverse reactions so far and so forth, and talk about the populations at the hospital and the ICU, and so much more, they do not consider people fully vaxxed until, what is it, 14 days after that second shot?
Right.
And so, therefore, if somebody comes in, they have an adverse reaction, they're considered not being fully vaccinated. So that's how they're being reported, not being fully vaccinated.
Well, that's one point. But, you know, they have already admitted there's a very short shelf life for the effectiveness of these vaccines. I mean, I've seen some articles and studies that have said, you know, maybe 3 to 4 months effectiveness. This is a very short shelf life. And it's like nobody is thinking critically and taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture and saying, what are we doing here? Why are we requiring and demonizing people who are thinking logically about the information that is being given out? I mean, this is, as I said, this looks like a failed vaccine. And yet the solution is give more vaccine. Why would you keep giving more vaccine if you've got a vaccine that doesn't work well?
Hmm. We've got Sharon calling from Tennessee. Sharon, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, I have a question. It's so confusing to me. Me and my husband were in our 70s, and we have not taken the vaccine of any sort. But we are out. And about, we go to restaurants and so forth. We are trying to be careful, though. But the main thing is, you look on the news, and even one of my own children works in a hospital, a very big hospital, and they will say that they're completely full. The emergency rooms down the hallway, there's no beds available anywhere. That this is worse, they said, then when it first came out, and then they say 100% non-vaccinated people are the ones. I got that off of David Muir, is it World or National News?
Mm-hmm.
And they show them, it's not like just misinformation that somebody's talking about, but they show you in that hospital in with a nurse talking, you know, in the hallways, that they are just jam-packed. So I don't know what to make of that, and especially since sometimes I hear it's the vaccinated people that are coming back with it, but then from the people I know that work in a hospital, they don't know they're the non-vaccinated people. So what do you have to say to that? And maybe you covered it when I turned my volume down.
Great. Thank you, Sharon. I'm going to have her address that. Barbara?
Yeah, there are conflicting stories coming out, and there are conflicting studies, and that's what makes this so confusing. We are seeing disease in vaccinated people. I have heard the same thing, that some of the hospitals are seeing that the complications are worse in unvaccinated people. And then I've seen people who say, well, I've got vaccinated people who are having the same types of complications as unvaccinated people. I don't think that we really understand everything because I'm not sure all the data is being collected. I do know that with breakthrough cases in vaccinated people, they are not, and by the way, vaccinated people can still transmit the virus.
Yes.
They're not following through and finding out how many vaccinated people are contracting it unless they end up in the hospital or die. So I don't know how to answer the question because I don't think that all the data has been collected. Right.
Thank you, Sharon. Michelle is calling from Ohio. You're on the air, Michelle.
Well, good afternoon to you. You know, many times we can always follow the money and find out why. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. You know, we keep the question that I'm calling about is, you know, why are we keeping on pushing these vaccines? Well, it's about the money, too.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the recent interview of Glenn Beck and Senator Rand Paul where they discussed the 2015 contract signed between our government and Moderna so that our government is profiting from these vaccine shots? And the stipulation, too, which concerns me even more, is that they've already determined that this Moderna first vaccine is ineffective, like your guest is speaking of today, but yet they still have to push that vaccine that's ineffective so that they can make their money.
Michelle, I'm going to thank you for this. I'm going to have our guest comment on this phrase, follow the money, because I know this is something you've talked about, the big pharmaceutical industry here, Barbara.
Oh, yes. Moderna was in partnership with the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases in developing this mRNA COVID vaccine, and Dr. Fauci is the head of NIAID. So, there are public and private business partnerships between the pharmaceutical industry that makes drugs and vaccines and with the federal agencies. So, you know, your caller is correct. There is the billions, and really it will be trillions of dollars that these companies make on this COVID-19 vaccine is incalculable. And the Congress, in this country, the Congress gave these companies complete liability protection. I mean 100% liability protection. So you cannot hold them accountable in a court of law for failures or for vaccine reactions that end in injury or death. And if there is active suppression of reporting of these vaccine adverse events, we're never going to really know how many people have been affected, except further down the road when we see how many people are sick.
We're up against a break here, folks, so we will be back in 1 minute here. We'll take more of your phone calls in the final segment. Barbara Lowe Fisher with us from the National Vaccine Information Center. Their website is nvic.org. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. I've talked about Frédéric Bastiat's book, The Law, many times over the years. And I urge all of you to go online and read it for free. You'll find it online. You can read it for free. He wrote it in 1850 when France was going through one of its many socialist revolutions. Bottom line, he says the purpose of the law is the defense of individual property, individual rights. It is individuals coming together collectively to defend individual rights. He says the law is perverted when it is used for greed and philanthropic purposes. Greed and philanthropic purposes. In other words, the government is used as an instrument to steal from one to give to another. The government becomes, and the law becomes, the exact opposite of what it is supposed to do. Secure the property and freedom and liberties of others. That's exactly what's happening in America. This nation cannot continue down this path until Americans once again understand the constitutional, God-given purpose of the law, security and protection.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We encourage you to tell a friend about this broadcast ministry that comes your way each weekday at the same time here on the VCY American Network. We're heading over to Birmingham, England. We have Robert calling in. Hi, Robert. You're on the air with Robert Fisher.
Morning. Thank you, Jim. Just one very quick point. Following up the report on how Dr. Mayor took the Omicron virus to Israel from a fully vaccinated conference, I looked up the Public Health England data on vaccine effectiveness, and the latest one that they've got full data for is week 38 of this year in September. And when you look at table two, compare the infection rates per 100,000 people for vaccinated and unvaccinated, in the age range 40 to 79, roughly speaking, the infection rate amongst the vaccinated is 1.5 times the infection rate amongst the unvaccinated.
Wow.
So there's an interesting little statistic.
Thank you, Robert.
Hard data from England. So thank you, folks. Bye for now.
Thank you, Robert, for the call from England. Barbara, very interesting.
Well, it is interesting. And, you know, when you look at the reports that it's the vaccinated who are in the hospitals dying, we also have to look at what kind of protocols are being used to help them through that infection without them having a severe outcome. That's part of, as we discussed earlier, that's part of this story, too.
Mm-hmm.
Natural immunity is also part of this story.
Yes.
The people who have gotten the infection in the U.S. or around the world and have recovered from it and have natural immunity, which, of course, is part of what, a big part of what contributes to a population's herd immunity, these people are not being counted and followed up either. It's like there's a lot of propaganda and there's not a lot of good data.
Let's go to Betty in Maumee, Ohio. You're on the air, Betty.
Hi. I'm concerned about testing, and multiple people are told that if you don't get the vaccine, you have to get multiple COVID tests, you know, weekly, and also for procedures in hospitals. I hear that they are dangerous, too, and cancer elements are in them. Could you talk briefly about the testing? And thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, the testing has been a problem from the very beginning in terms of reliability of these tests. There's a lot of different companies that have producing different kinds of tests, both the rapid test that would tell you whether you're infected currently, as well as the tests that are supposed to measure antibody levels and T cells after you presumably have recovered from an infection. The testing issue is fraught with a lot of, as I said, unreliability. And so you have people who test positive who are actually negative, and people who can test negative or actually positive. Well, it's mostly it's that you test positive and you're actually negative.
Hmm. Okay, let's go to Arizona next. Hi, Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Barbara. My question is, given the House vote at 52-48 to repeal the vaccine
mandate. That was actually the Senate vote, 52-48.
Okay, I'm sorry. If Biden vetoes it, can the veto be overwritten by a two-thirds vote?
Well, it has to go to the House now, and the House will definitely side with Biden. So I don't think it'll ever get to Biden's desk. I would be very surprised if the House goes along with what the Senate did.
So the House would have to pass what the Senate did, and if they would, it would have to go to the president, and then, yes, that two-thirds vote would have to override it.
Okay, so that National File story, that was saying the Senate, not the House, voted?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen the National File story. I'm just saying I know that it was the Senate.
Yeah, the Senate voted last
who
night.
Voted to oppose the vaccine mandate by Biden.
And that was the vote last night, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. Frank is calling from Pennsylvania. Frank, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. A quick question for your guests there. I know the VAERS website is used, but that's a reporting tool, and sometimes that can be flawed. My question is to your guest, is there an actual area or website or reputable source that you can go to show the actual linked side effects from the vaccinations? something that may be apolitical that would have an objective view. And I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the website that we use actually is a sponsored website by the National Vaccine Information Center. Is called medalerts.org. And this was developed in 2003 by a scientist who was the first to really make a user-friendly search database, search engine for the VAERS system. So if you go to medalerts.org, you can search the VAERS database using a lot of different fields. Like for example, this morning I looked at the age groups. I looked at 5 to 17 years old and how many reactions had been reported for COVID vaccines. And it's about all vaccines, not just COVID. But there is no website. I think what he was suggesting is a website that says, oh, these reactions are all causally related. No. There's no follow-up on these reactions, or very few reactions are followed up by the government. So there's no way of knowing whether these reports are all causally related to the vaccine. There's just no way to know it. You'd have to have massive amounts of follow-up.
Yeah, or the 99% of cases that are not reported to it as well.
Correct.
Okay. Jerry in Watertown, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, if these vaccines are so wonderful and so safe, why do we have government exempt, other groups of people exempt, and of all people that should be taking the vaccine, illegal aliens coming across the border, mm-hmm. for some reason, by golly, they're bringing disease in, but they don't have to get it. I mean, this vaccine is full of spike proteins that cause that are poison that causes it affects all the organs of the body in time, and you maybe got 5 years and you're going to be out of here. It's all about population control. Why is this not being talked about every single day? That if this is so wonderful, the president should be the first one in the cabinet and the Congress.
I tell you what, we got your question here. We're down to 30 seconds left in the program, Barbara.
Well, this is about politics. And clearly, the mandatory vaccination issue is about politics. It's about power. It's about money. It's not really about health, individual or public health. It's been completely distorted over the years. It started out as a good idea, potentially, but it has gotten, there's just way too much government intervention into the personal health care decisions of people. And that's why I advocate for getting active, talk to your state legislators, talk to your community leaders, and say, look, we want the right to make voluntary choices about vaccination.
Barbara Lowe Fisher, our guest, and folks, there's so many more callers and questions and comments that time does not allow for us here today because we've just run out of clock time. But Barbara, thank you so much for being with us here on the broadcast, NVIC.org.
Thank you.
And folks, check out there for more information. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.